Anybody? Hello and welcome. Welcome to our message this evening. For anybody who has opened this message as a podcast, we'd like for you to understand that this is a live teleconference meeting. So there are people dialing in from around the country. We'll begin the message in about 3 to 5 minutes. So as to give them a chance to get here. And if you would like to join Freedom's Way on these teleconference meetings, they are held each Monday and Friday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial 605-475-2090 and enter access code 373-363-pound. You can also go online to freedomswayministries.com for more information about us and ways to support our ministry. So God bless you. Thank you for being here. If you would like to let us know you're here, star 6, unmute your phone, and it mutes it back out again so that we have clear line.
Hey, Sister Vicki, sounding good tonight. Thank you for being here for us.
Thank you, Nick. God bless you.
My beautiful wife's on the line also.
Hallelujah.
Oh, how sweet was that? Hi, Mitch. This is Claudia. I just wanted to say hi to you all. Hi, Vicki. You sound so
Thank
good.
You. Thank you.
Hi, Miss Claudia.
Hello. Hi there.
Hello. Hello.
Love you.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right.
We are moving in the strength of God tonight. Hallelujah. Anybody that has come on that would like to say hello, you would need to hit your star 6 key to unmute your phone.
Hi, this is Helen. I'm sorry I got on late.
Thank you for being here, Helen. Hallelujah.
Hey, Sister Vicki, this is Larry. Glad to hear you're doing well.
God bless you. So glad you're here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Pardon me. Okay, praise the Lord. I am gonna put us into presentation mode tonight so that if you want to unmute your phone, you won't be able to do that until I unleash the lines. Hallelujah. We are Freedom's Way Ministries. I am Vicki Burdett. This is my first time back in a month. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be here. I'm here with my husband, Phil. Mighty man of God. Our mission at Freedom's Way is to help you come into your true identity in Christ, to live in the Spirit and not in the world, to walk by faith and not by sight, to know who you are and the authority that you carry. And it is to that end that we present these messages each Monday and Friday evening. We also have a morning teleconference line at 7:15 Eastern Time each day, where we pray, we read the Word of God, and then we pray for each other. So anytime you would like to join us with that, the telephone number is the same. The access code is the same. So, Father, thank you for this time in your word tonight. Thank you for this series on faith toward God. Thank you for what we've learned and how we've grown, and for what you're doing in each and every life. Thank you for settling your presence in our homes, in our hearts, in our minds, that we can fully receive what you have for us tonight. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to understand. And in the authority of the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, I turn aside any assignments of hell that would seek to corrupt, disrupt, interrupt, or otherwise hinder your people from clearly hearing and understanding this word tonight. In the name of Yeshua Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So tonight we're going to finish up our series on the who, what, when, where, how, and why of faith toward God. Tonight's message is the final one in the series. It's called Having Faith in Our Faith and Standing in Patience. We've been diving into the subject of faith toward God for many weeks now. The insights the Holy Spirit has revealed are absolutely awesome. Those of you who have been on the line, you know what I'm talking about. They have truly changed our lives, and I believe many of you feel the same way. If you want the playback numbers and access codes for each of these messages, I am asking that you send a text message to Freedom's Way at 904-993-2876 and make that request known. I will get those numbers to you. So last week we gave a sort of faith formula for using God's faith. Say it, do it, receive it, and tell it. And we looked at a few more of the important things to know about the God count of faith. And because there's still so much more to say, we're not going to do a review tonight. That way we can jump right in to the insights about having faith in our faith and standing, no matter what, with patience. So we're going to begin tonight with our foundation for having faith in our faith, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah.
John 5:1-5 says, "Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves him that begat loves him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, and we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Having faith in our faith is having faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. These scriptures tell us we are born of God because we believe that Jesus is the Christ, which means he is both the anointed one and the anointed. And the anointing, I'm sorry. Maybe we should explain anointed because I think the church doesn't really understand the depth of it. What anointing truly means and what it truly is. We've said rightly that the anointing is always with purpose. We said this one or that one in ministry is anointed. We've said we can feel the anointing. We've said pastors and leaders of God are God's anointed. We've said we are God's anointed, and we are God's anointed. We said certain people are anointed for certain things. That so and so has a real anointing for this or that. We've said a ton of stuff about the anointing and being anointed. And everything we said is true. But I don't think we've ever said, at least not in depth, what this anointing thing really is. So we're going to do our best briefly to do that now. Then you can look forward to a more in-depth study of anointing over the next few weeks.
Hallelujah. This is a word study from the Greek and the Hebrew on the words anointed and anointing. What we want to do is establish an understanding by examining these words and their roots. In the Hebrew, the implication of anointed is consecrated or set apart. The way the priest consecrated instruments for use in their assignments from God was to rub them with oil or to paint them. When the word anointed was used in reference to a person, it was a consecrated person, someone who was set apart for God's use, a king, a priest, or a saint, specifically the Messiah. The anointed one, a certain person, and we know it's Jesus Christ, the anointed one, was always a reference to the Messiah. In its physical sense, anointing is a pouring out of oil or perfume over a person. This is how the rulership of a king began. He was anointed with oil and declared to be king according to the word of God by a prophet. Priests also were anointed by oil being poured over them. Now, this was not a little smear like we have in our churches today. You know, you get a little bit on your finger and you dab it on somebody's forehead. This anointing was an outpouring. It was oil being poured from a vessel on top of the head. A lot of oil. Psalm 133, verse 2. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. Woo, hallelujah.
In the spiritual sense, we can see being anointed as experiencing an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that's the oil. This kind of anointing is transferable, which is where we get the concept of impartation. We see examples of this expansion of anointing in several places in Scripture. We're going to look at Numbers 11:16-17. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with you. And I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon you, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you bear it not yourself alone. And in Deuteronomy 34:9 says, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the Spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses.
Thank you, Lord. So we see that anointing is an outpouring of oil or perfume in the physical sense, and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the spiritual sense. We also see that anointing is with purpose, and it is for a specific purpose. Moses' elders were anointed by the Spirit of God to share the same attributes God had put in Moses for the purpose of assisting him in dealing with the people. Joshua received an impartation and anointing of wisdom from God through Moses for the purpose of stepping into Moses' position of leadership and taking the people into the promised land.
Both Moses and Joshua were forerunners and foretellers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses, the deliverer, who took the people out of bondage, and Joshua, who led them into benefit. Out of bondage and into benefit. That's certainly a picture of Jesus the Messiah. Hebrew teaches us that the Anointed One is the Messiah, and the anointing is connected to God's purposes. Jesus Christ was consecrated for a purpose, to take God's people out of bondage and deliver them into benefit. Having explored the Hebrew, we can now move into the Greek translation of the words anointed and anointing. Being anointed is first said to be oiled with perfume, and this definition comes from a combination of two other Greek words which we found very interesting. The first is literally first. It's alpha, the first letter of the Greek alphabet, the beginning, and it is used in the sense of union. The first in union with what? The second word of the combination is fat or grease, and figuratively translates sumptuous. Sumptuous is a word that describes something so delectable and extravagant, it defies definition. And its use as an adjective opens the thought process to every wonderful pleasure that we can imagine. I don't know about you, but I can clearly see Jesus in this. He is the Alpha, and he is the one who is truly sumptuous. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. In your presence is fullness of joy. Oh, thank you, Lord. Other Greek words for anointing and anointed mean being consecrated, set apart, smeared, or rubbed, handled, and furnished with what is needed, a means or instrument of power. Superimposition, an unction or consecratory gift, to shine, having a special endowment of the Holy Spirit. All these translations are clearly Christ, the Anointed One, and His anointing, which brings us back to our verse in 1 John. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. We said all that to say this. Having faith in our faith means having faith in what Jesus has done for us. Jesus is our substitute. He took the fall. He made the way. He opened the door. Now let's walk through it by realizing the wonderful benefits of the great exchange available to us by faith, because truly, we don't have a faith problem. We have a word problem. Once we have firmly grasped the truth of the great exchange, we can use God's faith effectively.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 5 through 12. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Wow. There is so much there. I want to read those last two verses again. Don't miss this. What man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We have the Spirit of God within us to tell us the things of God, the deep things of God. The Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The anointing of the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ comes as we seize the truth of it and appropriate the exchange. This may seem pretty basic to some of you, but I am trusting the Holy Spirit to cause a renewal of faith in every one of us, a refreshing of our true identity, a restoration of truth deep within our hearts as we look again at the faith that overcomes the world, our Messiah, Jesus Christ. Consider Jesus. He died to give us life. He was made sin to make us righteous. He became weak to make us strong. He suffered shame to give us glory. He went to hell to give us heaven. He was condemned to set us free. He took on sickness to give us divine health. He was rejected by God because of our sin, so that we could be accepted by God because of his righteousness.
Nothing whatsoever can compare to so great an exchange. We must steadfastly refuse to believe anything against what has been done for us. The time to exercise faith in our faith is now. We don't wait until doubt leaves We don't wait until doubt leaves to move in the faith that overcomes the world. Guess what? Doubt doesn't just leave. It must be kicked out. Doubt is a form of fear, and as such, doubt is a spirit. If everyone has a doubt problem, if you have a problem believing in your authority as God's representative in the earth, or believing you can actually do the things Jesus did and even greater things, then get rid of the doubt and unbelief. So how do we do that? Again, the word gives us the answer. Matthew 17, verses 14 to 21. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. Oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't help him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very same hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible to you. However, this kind does not go out but by prayer and fasting.
Okay. Now, because we can see Jesus did not fast and pray before casting out the dumb spirit and the boy, he was not telling his disciples they had to fast and pray before casting out that spirit. No, Jesus was not referring to the spirit in the boy. He was referring to the spirit in the disciples, a spirit of doubt and unbelief. If you want to rid yourself of doubt, then fast and pray. Set aside a time to the Lord to be in His presence without feeding your flesh with food and things of the world, just you and God together. Worship Him, praise Him, read His word out loud to yourself. Get to know Him better. It is when we know who He is that we know who we are. And when we know who we are, when we know ourselves as the glory carriers of the Anointed One and His anointing, then doubt has to go. Has to go. Has no choice.
Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13 says the following. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. Romans 11, 19 to 21. You will say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. This is big. And you stand by faith, but be not high-minded, but fear. For if the Lord spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest He also spare not you. Let's consider these two sets of scriptures. In Ephesians, we stand by faith. In Romans, we fall by unbelief.
That's powerful. In Ephesians, we stand by faith. In Romans, we fall by unbelief. It's my choice. Stand by faith or fall by unbelief. Now, the whole armor of God includes a shield of faith, which we can stand behind in safety against the onslaught of our enemy. It's the barrier between us and hell. Having done all, to stand. Doing all requires all that faith requires. Giving ourselves to the Word, hearing it preached, hearing ourselves confess it, studying it, and then acting on the Word. To be released alive, faith must be mixed with the Word. Otherwise, it's dead. Believing compels action. We act as though God's word is true and New Covenant higher faith is real. And guess what? We discover the word really is true and faith really is real. Hallelujah.
And the Bible says that faith is the substance of things unseen. It's substance. It is real. In the doing all is the taking unto ourselves the whole armor of God, being fully clothed with every piece of it. Some people say they put on the armor of God every morning. My question would be, why would we ever take it off? Ephesians 6, verses 14 through 17 says the following, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Gird our loins with the belt of truth. In other words, be fully encircled with this knowledge and assurance, I am who and what God says I am. I would like for y'all to just repeat that. I am who and what God says I am.
I am who and God says I am.
That is the truth, folks. Say this with me. I'm a saint, not a sinner.
Saint, not a sinner.
I'm an overcomer, not an underdog.
I'm an overcomer, not an underdog.
I'm strong, not weak.
Strong.
I'm rich, not poor.
Rich, not poor.
I am a victor, not a victim.
Victor, not a victim.
Hallelujah. That is the truth. The truth is our belt, which holds everything together. Then we put on the breastplate of righteousness, taking up our inheritance as saints. The breastplate protects the vital organs. Righteousness keeps our hearts safe. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ.
Clothe our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. No longer do we walk according to the course of the world. Now we walk in the peace of God, peace which has great authority and takes no offense. Above all, take up the shield of faith. It all works by faith. Faith works by love. These two spiritual elements seem to be interchangeable, don't they? Then we have the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit as a sort of combo. They go together. The mind of Christ and the word of his power, the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Doing all includes praying with all manner of prayer in the Spirit and also with the understanding. The Word is God's part of our prayer life. We must never go back on our prayers by falling into unbelief and speaking a word of doubt behind the word of God's truth. Don't stop the miracle action of word faith by confession of doubt or the admission of a doubt into your consciousness.
Don't do it.
Luke 8, verses 13 through 15 says the following. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, but in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Doing all includes waiting with perseverance and patience, living the love life of Jesus Christ, pressing through difficult times as we seek unity in the body of Christ and the ministry gifts and anointing God has placed within each of us. Sometimes the standing in faith takes waiting, and waiting takes patience. One of my favorite scriptures here in James 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 6, verse 12 to 15.
That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Peace has authority. Patience has power. Peace has authority. Patience has power. It is the power of a sound mind, stable emotions, godly desires, and a resolute will. Luke 21, verse 19, in your patience possess you your souls.
The power and force of patience is released through a quality threefold decision. We must decide God's word is true and do not compromise it in any way. We must decide to act only in faith and not doubt. Doubt is having a plan B. We must decide to speak only faith and not negate our words. The decision to stand in faith and having done all to stand is ours alone. The decision to have faith in our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, belongs to each individual. I can't make the confession of faith for you. I can't walk your walk for you. I can't zap you with patience, or I'd have had a lot more by now. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. By faith, we have peace with God, which produces authority. By faith, we have access to the grace of God, which produces joy. Joy rises even in our times of trouble and affliction, which produce patience. And as we persevere through those times, we gain experience, which produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. We stand by faith, we fall by unbelief. So let's all make the threefold quality decision to have faith in our faith, to do all, and to stand in the power of patience.
Hallelujah. To that end, I invite you all to pray this prayer with me out loud. If you want to make that decision to have faith in faith, to do all, and to stand in the power of patience, let all the host of heaven and hell know, by speaking these words out loud, Father God, I understand that decision to stand in faith is mine alone. No one can make that decision for me. I choose to step into the quality decision to believe your word is true, no matter how the situation may appear. I pledge to you now, I will not compromise your word. I will act only in faith and not doubt. I will speak only faith-filled words, which activate angels. I will not speak doubt-filled words, which activate devils. Thank you, Lord, that I am anointed and I am appointed to live in faith, to walk by faith, and to stand in faith, allowing the power of patience to have her perfect work. Thank you that I have within me your Holy Spirit. And I am ever aware and mindful of Jesus. I consider Jesus. I set my heart on Jesus and what he has done and is doing even now. No longer will I consider myself, my weaknesses, the iniquities and transgressions of my past, or the uncertainties of my future. My heart is fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. He died to give me life. He was made sin that I am made righteous. He became weak that I am made strong. He suffered shame that I have glory. He went to hell to bring me heaven. He was condemned to set me free.
Them set me free.
He took on sickness that I am in health. He was rejected that I am accepted. I consider Jesus. It's not about what I did wrong anymore. It's about what he did right. Thank you for changing my focus, Father. I break all agreement with doubt and unbelief. I stop the mouth of the liar.
Stop the mouth of the liar.
I refuse to speak his words. I pledge to do all to stand. And having done all, I will stand. In the authority of peace, with the mind of Christ, girded about with the belt of truth, covered by righteousness, shielded by faith, and brandishing the sword of the Spirit of God, I will stand. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I make this declaration. And I declare that his blood is all powerful and effective to accomplish what I declare. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have a comment or a question, pardon me, please push your star 6 keys. I hope you've enjoyed this series. And I'm thinking that it's time to learn more about the anointing of God.
Amen.
So we'll start next week with some teachings on the anointing.
All right. Love it. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Annette.
Now, as we are anointed, we help and unify each other. Amen.
Hallelujah. We are a body after all.
Yep.
Who else has something to say tonight? Anybody? Hallelujah.
Hey, Vicki. It's Queen. Good to hear you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Oh, let me tell you, this was a very powerful and just great teaching. I mean, I think all of them are, but this one really stuck out to me. And I tuned in a little late, but I'm glad I tuned in, and I'd love to get the playback or however so we can listen to it again because it was just so great.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Be sure to text me so
okay.
that I won't have to go searching for your number. Just text me and
okay.
let me know, you know, which ones you want, and I'll send them.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks to both of you. Every week I think, can anything get better? It always does. Anyway,
praise
I appreciate
Lord.
It very, very much. Yeah. Glad you're getting along so well. God bless.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
Helen. And you know, when I was putting this together, it really hit me. Some of the things really just spoke to my heart so deeply.
I'm sure, especially for, you know, having come through what you have. But I just get a little bit speechless. But it is, it's just excellent. Takes me longer to walk it out than what I would like, but nevertheless, it's good, and I just have to keep walking. So I appreciate both of you, all the work that you pour into it, and it's a lot of work. So God bless
Thank
and rest
you,
well tonight. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else before Phil blesses us into this week?
Yes, I just want to say thank you for the word. Y'all are such a blessing for us.
Thank you, Mitch.
Yes, you are.
I think I heard.
I'm quiet now. I'm talking over somebody.
Good. That's okay. We always come on at the same time, it seems. Thank you. Yes, God bless.
Amen. Hallelujah. God is good.
It's still on your website, too, also, isn't it?
What? The
like
playback
tonight.
Numbers are not... Yeah, the playback numbers are not on the website.
No. I thought we had this on the website, that we could go back to tonight on your website.
No, the teaching is not on the website. Mm-mm. No, it will be put up on Spotify, so you could listen to it there. But I'm thinking about putting all the playback numbers up on the website so people can get them. I think I'll do that as soon as I feel a little bit more up to it. I'm going to get in touch with my web guy and send him all the playbacks and then the title of the each faith message. There are going to be 15 of them, so it'll keep you busy for a while. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that'll be really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, anybody else? If not, I am going to ask you to mute your phones, and Phil will bless us into this wonderful week.
Father, we thank you for your word tonight, your anointed word. Thank you for your anointing and your presence in your word. Lord, we are a grateful people. Ask you that you seal this word in our heart, that we automatically respond to the things of faith, in faith, and that you strengthen us, Lord, to be able to act on our confession. So I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for all you are and all that you do. Thank you for blessing this ministry, strengthening us, strengthening your people. Ask that you encamp your angels around your people. Minister to them in the area that they need your ministry. And as Aaron, the high priest of Israel, blessed the people of Israel in Numbers, the sixth chapter, I will bless you with the Aaronic benediction, first in Hebrew and then in English. Yivarech Adonai ve'yishmarecha. Yisa Adonai panav eilecha yifunecha. Yisa Adonai Hana Velecha V'yisem Lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your blessing. We receive faith. Strengthen our faith. We receive the gift of faith. Faith in every way, Lord, to strengthen our walk, to be more like you, the way we were created to be, in your image. So we honor and bless you, Lord, for your desire to bring us back to the place that we are like you in all that we do and say. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you glory. Amen.
Amen. Good night, all. God bless you. We love you. This message will be repeated Friday at 8:30.
Amen.
And
good night. Lucky.
Good night. God bless you. And you can join us at the King's table for morning prayers and Bible reading at 7:15 on this same line. God bless you.
God bless.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
See you in the morning. Bye-bye.
Okay. Good night.
This is